Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Light the fuse, bring the Garys. 4, 3, 2, 1. I've made that sound like some sort of 90s class A drug, haven't I?
It's a lot of Garys.
Welcome to this latest tier list. I am Gary YouTube, back to do the Gary YouTubing once again, joined by another Gary YouTube. How are you doing, Gary?
Sadly, Gary YouTube couldn't be here, so I, Gary YouTube, have stepped in place, Gary YouTube.
Up the Garys. Here's the intro. So just in case you haven't been here before, as Gary is frozen in time, we have a tier list here to put some AEW heels into, ranging from the best to lovely, 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 to middle of the road, all right, to just about bearable as a heel and get in the bin as a heel. So we're going to find out who is the best heel.
I'm very intrigued by this particular tier list, Gary, because there's a lot of shades of grey with AEW.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's very rarely a clear-cut babyface, and he'll obviously be able to get to some very clear-cut ones, but there's a few where we go, they could be either, they could be neither.
There's a few where they're booked as heels, definitely, if you look at their opponents, but when you look at the reactions on the show, they're just so cool, they're a babby face.
Oh.
But it reminds me what Cody Rhodes said a few years ago. He's like, we don't, even though they have the heel and face tunnels, he was just like, it's up to the audience to make their minds up.
You can't say, like, oh, it's up to the audience to decide who's a face and heel, then have designated face and heel tunnels.
It made no sense, but that's where we're here.
He does have that lovely little caveat where sometimes somebody does something a bit naughty, and then they go, oh, which tunnel am I going down?
CM Punk loves that, doesn't he?
I'm
going up the hill. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm going down the
hill. He's in the different tunnels. He's like he's driving on the A19 towards South Shields.
That's a sentence nobody's ever said before in their life ever. Anyway, Anna J.A.S. is the first heel we have on the tier list today. She's got a bad attitude, Tom, and a fat ass. Her catchphrase, that's not my commentary, that's her actual catchphrase in the wrestling. Fat with a PH, obviously.
I think becoming a heel has certainly given her some more gravitas that she didn't have before. But I wouldn't say she's the best.
Me neither. I reckon we go down to sort of all right, just about bearable sort of regions.
I think we're polite and we stick a bang in the middle.
Bang in the middle, because as we all know on the tier list, we can move things as we go along. That's a good starting place right at the get-go. Now we go to QT Marshall. And as a heel, I can't stand him. That is the point, though, so he's doing his job well.
Does that not make him, right, the best heel?
I know.
Because literally no one likes him.
Nobody likes him. Everybody hates him. My granddad used to have a little ditty about that. Nobody likes him. Everybody hates him.
Pink
That's
I'll
Ross.
Go eat worms.
Oh.
Is that the one?
No.
Oh. Not saying that QT Marshall's eating worms at any point.
He should eat worms, though.
He's a pivotal character on Rampage, very randomly. But just is easy to hate.
And in AAA now as well. Was it AAA? I think he got booked at Triple Mania recently.
Man, it's getting around.
But yeah, as a heel, I don't think anybody likes him. I think people appreciate what he brings to the table, but I don't think anyone could go, I like QT Marshall, which means he's doing his job very well. And QTV, we always moan about on the Cultaholic Wrestling podcast, available on the YouTubes and podcast thingies every single Friday, that Powerhouse Hobbs being shackled by QTV and everything they bring to the table is a travesty. And I guess that is that QTV doing the job well, or QTV just being naff?
See, this is it, because it does feel like an anchor for Will Hobbs. A right bunch of anchors, I'll be honest. But I don't know whether that's the point. As long as we get the payoff of Will Hobbs just flattening everybody and going, see you later, alligator, then it's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether we ever will.
But as a heel who gets booed, there are a few who get more boos than QT Marshall, which means he's got to go in the best.
He's the best.
Nyla Rose. A different type of heel, because we got Twitter Nyla, who is very funny but also still quite heelish.
Love Twitter Nyla.
And Television Nyla, who is just stereotypical, heel.
I could take or leave TV Nyla. I love Twitter Nyla.
Yeah. We've got to put TV Nyla in the tier list, though. This is based on AEW TV, not AEW Twitter.
I'm going to say all right.
I'll say all right,
like,
as well.
I want to see like more persona from Nyla.
I still think it's a travesty what happened with her and Vicky Guerrero. I thought that was a partnership made in heaven.
For some reason, just didn't scan. No. It's so weird.
It is very weird.
But some ways, it goes that way sometimes. You have all the right ingredients and you just can't make a cheesecake.
Oh, ooh.
You know what? I thought cheesecake.
I know you don't even need to bake them, do you? Just put them in the fridge.
You have to make them first. Crush a biscuit.
In a little thing and mix it up. And anyway, Luchasaurus is next up.
He's delicious cheesecake.
He's the official TNT champion, but not. He doesn't hold the title. I don't know what the right phrasing is for that, but Christian Cage has the title belt. Luchasaurus is the TNT champion. He has literally had everything that made him unique stripped away, I think, now in the search of him being a heel who gets booed, because you can't have a dinosaur doing shooting star presses and stuff like that and have him be booed. So they've taken away all the cool moves and whatnot. He's literally just there just to stand behind the turtleneck freak. I don't know why I call him a freak, but there we go. So Luchasaurus there.
He's with somebody who's going to rank very highly on our heel list, but he himself, without that person, I don't think has the heel tendencies that is needed. So I don't know whether we tell Luchasaurus to get in the bin.
Oh, in the bin!
Once out of his face.
Oh.
And now, this isn't judging Luchasaurus as a wrestler. I think he's great as a baby face. Like you say, shooting star presses from a big lad like that. Yes, please and thank you. I like the dinosaur thing because you know what? Wrestling's bollocks. Let's embrace it. But it feels like there's an element of it, and I know I'll get screamed at for this. It's an element of when Keith Lee was under the watchful eyes of Vince McMahon, and they went, all those things that make you cool and fun and interesting and engaging, don't do any of them. It's been too harsh.
I'll go bearable with the potential to move down to
bin. All right, I will accept bearable.
But as you say,
possible binage.
When you take away Christian, he is just large man.
Large man.
Who does clothesline to back of head.
Doesn't even come out to Tarzan Boy anymore by Baltimore. No one does anymore.
What a dick. Anyway, speaking of dicks, we now have Daniel Garcia, who loves to thrust his dick towards you as you're watching AEW each and every week in the form of some saucy dance manoeuvres. He's a guy who's really coming into his own over the past year, especially. I think the playing up of the sports entertainer versus professional wrestler thing as part of the JAS was nice storytelling. I don't know if we're going to get to the sort of crescendo that we thought we were going to get to. We might do in time, but it seems like Chris Jericho and Sammy and Dan have all gone their separate ways now. Sammy and Dan one way, Chris Jericho the other way. But I think it's the little things that are getting better and better and better as I watch him more and more in between the moves, like just playing with the referee, playing with the crowd. I think he's at least, as we're sat here in July of 2023, a lovely, lovely, lovely heel.
Here is where the issue lies with a list like this, right? I really like him. There was a Death Before Dishonor the other day when he was put in the sleeper by Shibata and he's still doing the dance as he's passing out. A year ago, I couldn't have picked Daniel Garcia out of a lineup. Mm. But like, as you say, the sports entertainment stuff that he's done, he's going to be a great mid-card babyface, but I'm going to say a lovely, lovely, lovely
heel. We'll go in there as well. Because he has got that. He's got a little slappable face, hasn't he? Which always helps. And he's a smaller lad, which also helps with the heelishness, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a potential wonderful mid-card babyface there, but for now, he is a lovely, lovely, lovely heel.
And speaking of what was a wonderful mid-card babyface, well, I guess a main event babyface, really, until a recent heel turn, we have Jack Perry, not Jungle Boy. They've taken Christian, they've put it on Jack Perry. He's trying to be something he's clearly not. He sounds like an accountant. Oh, I've got a girlfriend with a lovely fat ass. I'm Jungle Boy and I think I'm the dog's bollocks. It didn't quite work with his voice. The shades and whatnot, we saw him coming up to Beethoven last week. On Dynamite, which did not work at all for me at all. Surely with the leather pants and leather jacket, the shades, you've got to have some sort of hair metal number or something, haven't you?
You had to adapt Jungle Boy. But I ain't feeling it.
I'm not feeling him at all.
I am feeling it. And I know some people really like him as a baddie, but like he doesn't look comfortable in it.
No.
Like, he didn't look comfortable. He looked more comfortable as Jungle Boy, but this, like, I feel like, you know when it's going back to school, you know when your mum will sometimes buy you a jacket and trousers that are too big?
Yeah.
Or shoes that are too big, you'll grow into them.
Yeah.
I feel like he's been given a heel persona that he has to grow into.
Yeah.
And he hasn't yet.
It just feels like at the moment he's playing the state. If someone said, be a wrestling bad guy to a kid, that's what he's doing, like the shades on. Oh, I've got a sexy girlfriend.
I make all the money and I have a nine out of kiss. I kissed a woman.
Yeah. Like, you never touched a woman, did you?
if he, do you know what? Genuinely, if he came out and spoke like that, I'm like, shut up, I've kissed a woman. I'd like it, actually. I'd be into it. I once saw a woman, but he's not. Can we put him in the bin?
I'll put him in the bin. It's not working at all. It feels weird to put him below Luchasaurus, but I think Luchasaurus has more presence than Jungle Boy, which
certainly
keeps him
does.
Out the bin. But again, we're sat here in July of 2023, so who knows, come September, all might have changed.
Oh, I'm excited to revisit this list in like a year's time and go, whoa, what a guy. You know, it'd be brilliant.
Speaking of what a guy, Smorth and other things like that are associated with Jake Hager. Jake Hager is a man who has a hat in the modern day. That's it now. He's a fighting man with a hat.
As opposed to what was he a year ago?
A fighting man without a hat.
That's true. Oh, do you know what? He is like, I feel like Jake Hager's the guy that sneaked into a house party. And someone eventually is going to go, wait, who are you? How do you know?
Chris Jericho, of course. We've got to thank Chris Jericho for getting Jake Hager in through the doors.
Yeah,
with
thanks.
Everything AW. Cheers, Chris.
Appreciate that.
Hey, Hager's fantastic.
But
as a heel, he's a bit...
He's
much of a muchness, isn't
all
he?
All right.
Yeah.
Let's meet in the middle on Jake Hager.
Bearable? Because he is starting to get cheers with the I like this hat sort of shtick. He's making himself more likable by having a purple hat.
Yeah, put him in bearable.
We'll put him in bearable. Yeah. But he can be a decent heel in five-star wrestling. He was the Uber heel, but that's a long time ago. And a different guy. Then we move on to Keshta, beg me pardon, who made that wonderful debut as the heel with the turtleneck on and a suave look towards the camera. Oof, I was feeling things in my loins. But since then, he's sort of just been wrestling very well, like Takeshita always does, the stuff with Don Callis. It looks like as we sat here, we're building towards Takeshita versus Kenny Omega, potentially at a Wembley show coming near you. Well, that remains to be seen, though. But Takeshita is a heel.
I like Takeshita as like a silent assassin-esque heel, like, who dresses well, looks the part. I don't want him to do too much other than just turn up, wrestle really aggressively, and leave. Don Callis can do all the lifting in terms of the promos and stuff. I think Takeshita as a heel here is brilliant, because what's going to happen? You watch this. He's going to as the time goes, we're going to just see that switch turn. And Takeshita's going to be a superstar.
Yeah. But how many people actually overtly hate Takeshita at the moment?
And that is the problem.
He's too squeaky clean and perfect at wrestling to hate, isn't he?
He's very nice. Which therefore makes him not the best heel.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
At the moment.
But certainly, I mean, would you say there's a similar groundswell to the hatred for Garcia?
Yeah.
So maybe... Bottom of lovely, lovely, lovely.
Oh, maybe in the same one as Hager and Luchasaurus. I don't know.
Because
he is still getting, when he's wrestling, he's doing, you see a German suplex nailed to perfection. People are still going, good.
Yeah, I'm glad you're keeping me right on terms of what the logistics are of like heels and stuff, because this is, it's a unique one because it's
the higher up you go, the more hated you are.
Yeah. We're looking at like a combo of shoot and work hatred.
Yes.
QT Marshall, we're looking at you.
A confusing one.
But then surely, and then Jack Perry is not hated, but a bad heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Aye.
Yes.
So that means he's down the bottom. It's a confusing concept.
We're doing all right.
Oh, the tier lists. Next up, we have Cool Hand Ange.
Cool Hand Ange.
With his good hair days and whatnot. Thoughts on Cool Hand Ange?
I like Cool Hand Ange as a heel. I think he's easy to despise.
Because his hair.
His hair makes him very easily despisable. I think he's associated with the right people that have brought out that extra bit of comedy foil in him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a great baddie. I'm not in a rush to boo it. I'm not in a rush to cheer him.
No.
But in the best possible way.
Lovely.
Is that
too high?
I think, because very similar to Garcia, just like knockabout Pratt-like tendencies, but very much hateable.
Yeah. Less hateable is his tag team partner, Daddy Magic, the Meat Man. Well, not the Meat Man, because that's John Silver, isn't it? But Daddy Magic, part of the tag team Magic Meat with the Butcher. That's why I'm getting mixed up.
That's
there.
Where you
Is Matt Menard, who on commentary is very likable in promos, even when he's a heel, but when he's busted up. And I think about that promo a year or two ago, however long ago it was, after the Blood and Guts match, where he's got the blood pissing down his head and he's just cutting a promo like a wholesome babyface would in that sort of situation in the 80s. But he's not a babyface, but I think he's much more likable than Cool Hand. And Ange, I think, is a heel. It's a weird one because he is a very good heel, but he's also very entertaining, which makes him very likable. So I don't know where to put him.
I would put him top of all right because Ooh. I think if ever there was a split between the two, I think you have Magic turning in towards the good side
yes.
of things more so than Cool Hand Ange.
He's got more about him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I think top of all right.
Now, next up, we have a weird case because Sammy Guevara heading into Double or Nothing was given this babyface turn to coincide with him and Ty Conti announcing their pregnancy together, which was obviously mm-hmm. very nice news to hear. He then didn't really get too many cheers heading into Double or Nothing, so they've gone back to him being a bad guy, I think, as we're sat here now. He's in the sort of tag team tandem with Daniel Garcia, which I guess makes him a bad guy. On the most recent Dynamite, so the one we're sitting here recording this video, it was Garcia and Guevara against another tag team I've forgotten about. They were doing the pose. It was MJF and Adam Cole, of course. They were doing the poses and whatnot and the dance-offs like heels would. So I've got Sammy down as a heel. This could change in the weeks and months to come. Where do we think Sammy is as a heel?
I actually think Sammy Guevara is exactly what Jack Perry is trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, look at me, I'm brilliant. I've kissed a woman, I've got money, and I'm really good at the wrestling. But Sammy Guevara just does it effortlessly. Mm. I feel more inclined to boo Sammy Guevara than ever cheer him.
Yeah.
I'm more engaged with him when he's just being a little poo-housery bad guy.
Yes.
So I think he's got to be in the best.
I'll put him in the best as well. There's no redeeming features about Sammy Guevara.
No, none at all. A handsome man who's wealthy with an attractive wife. Like,
he can do a flip.
Can do a flip. Nothing attractive. No, no,
he
no.
He can sing.
He can sing
kind
nicely.
Of.
No redeeming features. Bin for you. No, he's which makes him one of the best to be an heel.
He's a very, very good heel. I don't think he's a natural babyface at all, but he is most certainly a natural heel. And speaking of Sammy, we'll go straight to Ty Conti, whose role has greatly been reduced as a wrestler over the more recent time before the pregnancy was announced, of course, not to coincide with that. It's a weird, I don't know where to put her. She's just sort of next on with Sammy.
But I feel like she's more comfortable being a bad guy.
Do you?
I feel like there's more about her as a baddie, you know. But is she one of the best baddies? No.
Nah.
But she's certainly more comfortable.
All right. Bearable.
I think bottom of all right.
Bottom of all right.
I think that Nyla probably has more about her than... Oh, that sounds... Yeah, people are going to give me grief for that. But I think bottom of all right.
Yeah, Nyla's got more about her as a heel than Ty Conti.
I think so.
I remember the days of, what was it, Ty J, the Anna Jay and Ty Conti tag team. That was all sorts of wholesome babyfaceness.
Yeah, that's true.
Until they were heels, but there was a babyface period as well.
Bloodbath of a tag match they had was something special.
Yeah, it was. We move straight on now to Don Callis, who goes straight at the top.
Oh, he certainly does.
He gets the reactions that Dominic Mysterio can only empathise with.
He is AEW's Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
He's just a guy that you could give a mic to and will help bring anybody up along with him. You know, and there's been proof of concept with multiple people. I think Don Callis is great.
Yeah, he's a dick. And I love his theme as well. Just the fact it's one, like, unsettling note. But not quite the right... It's not like brown noise. It's not brown noise.
The brown note.
Yeah, the brown
it's
note.
The one that makes it's you completely pull your pants.
A big dirty fart. That's all it is. The guns, I think, much the same. Tom, I don't know if you agree, straight in the top.
I've enjoyed their work as bad guys. And I want to give top marks too. I know the conversation's sort of gone down a bit now. Their entrance, when it was revamped with the spotlight... Him spitting the water with the gun. Oh, it's great.
Yes, they're in the Bang Bang Gang now. It makes all the sense in the world. The gun's been in the Bang Bang Gang with Jay White and Juice Robinson. More of them a little bit later. But as we say, it's much like a QT Marshall sort of situation. Matthew on the podcast will always go like, everyone hates them, pal. Therefore, I think they're brilliant.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that is what this list is all about. I am in no rush to cheer the guns. And I don't want to. I think that they were. A lot of people think their time came too early as tag champs.
I think it fit the story well with FTR.
I think it told a story quite well, and the way that it span round. And I think this is just the beginning. I think we'll come back round again, and we'll see them flourish even further as baddies. Yeah. I like it.
Big stars of the future. You heard it here first.
We called it.
Big Bill, we move on to now, who's been sort of fleetingly coming in and out of Dynamite and Rampages and stuff like that. But as a heel, I think it's much like Garcia. We obviously remember the days of Big Cass, where he's relatively new to being a singles wrestler, thrust onto the big stage. He's gone away for a bit, dealt all the stuff in his personal life, come back, unbelievable shape. But it's also the little things he does now. There was a round, I forget what the tag team match was on Dynamite a few weeks ago now, to us being sat here. But the little stuff he did in between the moves is what really impressed me with him now. He's become like more complete as a performer.
He's become more well-rounded, and there's this burgeoning team with Brian Cage that I think has bags of potential as well. I think he needs to be part of a team. I don't, whilst obviously we think about him as a babyface, you think of him as Big Cass and how easily likable he was there, but I think he leans into being a bad guy quite easily, just being this big bully type, akin to, you know, I'm going to drop an attitude here, and I'm akin to Test.
Oh!
Test vibes, in a good way.
Yeah.
A Test vibes about him, like just a big bully.
Yeah.
Big, lean bully.
I mean, we've not got too much to go off in terms of Big Bill on Dynamite and Collision and Rampage and stuff like this. We're sat here. Hopefully we'll get more in the weeks and months to come, but just off that one match, I'm excited for his future, which sounds really condescending, and I don't mean it to, but where do we want to go?
Okay, we haven't seen a lot. No. But I would like him as a heat. I like booing him. Maybe bottom lovely, lovely, lovely.
Yeah, bottom, top of all right. We'll go bottom lovely, lovely, lovely. Because I think we'll be sat here in a month's time, hopefully. And we'll be proven right. Hopefully.
If not, I'd rather be happy than right.
Ricky Starks is a weird one at the moment. He ended the Owen Hart tournament as a babyface. Everyone was on board with him winning. He got the final against CM Punk. He obviously cheated to win, but it's against CM Punk, who half the crowd likes, half the crowd hates at the moment. I didn't put CM Punk in this list, I've just realised. I should have probably done that, because half the crowd thinks he's a heel. Anyway, Ricky Starks cheats to win. He walks up the ramp. He just sort of pies off Jushin Thunder Liger to take the trophy away. And that was the heel turn.
That was pointless.
The most recent collision we've seen is where Ricky Starks cut the sort of insecure babyface promo, just like, why isn't everyone talking about me being so sexy and stuff like that. He then wrestles with CM Punk in the tag team in the main event of Collision last week, and he was Christian against CM Punk and who the bloody hell was it, Tom? I've gone blank. Whoever it was, anyway, Ricky Starks and Christian with a heel team not get along and stuff like that with the tags and stuff like that. So Ricky Starks, as we're sat here now, is a heel. It's a weird and quick heel turn, but I'm intrigued to see where it goes.
I really thought they were going to get behind Ricky Starks as a babyface. This, to me, that tournament, with CM Punk getting quite a lot of boost to begin with, it would have been nice to have had Ricky Starks beat Punk and win the tournament, and then they weirdly turned him heel, and I was like, I prefer him as a babyface. Like, you go back to December, Winter is Coming, where we had MJF versus Ricky Starks, and I felt like, okay, this is a match that we will come back to in a year after Ricky Starks has had a really successful mid-card babyface run, and we'll do it again, and maybe the world will be different. But nowhere near that now, and it's nearly, you know, it's nearly that time again.
Yeah, but it is. It's. I think it's going to work, but I can see what you're saying. I mean, he's good either way. It's just the way the babyface turn happened in the space of one night. Cause the way I thought they were going was he would win the tournament and then sort of be like, I know Owen was a heel when he got the slammies, and he was going, just like showing them off everywhere he could do.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be the way they were going, and sort of like a babyface guys. But it's not looking that way. But we haven't got a lot to go off again, but what was shown on Collision last week was very good, I thought.
Obviously, he had a heel run when he was Team Taz.
Yeah.
But again, like, I don't think he massively jumped out, forgive me, when he was in that role. I really got behind him as a babyface. Let's put him in Bearable.
Bearable? Oh, that's going to set the cat among the pigeons.
It really is.
If I was doing this on my own, I'd go lovely, lovely.
Just
so it's out there.
But, well, do you want to meet in the middle and go all right?
We'll go top of all right.
Top of all right.
We'll go top of all right. Because we haven't seen too much, but we saw last week. I did like the insecurity of what he was saying, which I think is a nice sort of catalyst for a heel of Ricky Starks. So he thinks he's The Rock, doesn't he, basically?
Mm.
He thinks he's The Rock. He maybe isn't getting the reaction stuff he doesn't want there, but yeah.
I feel like I need to emphasize as well, like, this isn't me saying that Ricky Starks is rubbish. I know some people will just say this on Facebook and go, can't believe Tom thinks Ricky Starks. I don't.
He gets cheered too much for this tier list.
Gauge it on him as a heel. I think Ricky Starks is genuinely the future. I think he's fantastic. I'm trying to gauge it from what we're doing in terms of a heel. All right?
It's a weird tier list, Tom.
It's a weird tier list. I'm going to turn heel on you in a minute. Shut up.
Chris Jericho is a heel.
Well, he's one of the best heels of all time,
isn't he? We've got to put him in the top.
He's one of the best of all time.
Even when he's screaming on commentary on Rampage and stuff like that, thinking you're a heel.
Yeah. He burns through gimmicks like he's scrolling through TikTok these days because he's constantly trying to find lightning striking again with something different. But at his core value, Chris Jericho is one of those guys who works as a heel who can bring somebody else up with him. Now, it has had mixed results.
Yeah.
Has the Chris Jericho effect. Let's not think too much about Adam Cole versus Chris Jericho more recently. But I think his batting average on the whole is good. So let's stick him in the best.
But does he get too many cheers? I think he's a good heel.
Well, I mean, the crowd do sing his theme song. But I think that constitutes a cheer, or is that just a Pavlovian thing?
That's just a thing that's part of the show, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think Chris Jericho is one of the best heels in the company still, even here in 2023. Brian Cage, excuse me.
Again, like with Big Bill, I like the big bully type character. He definitely needs a mouthpiece or somebody to
do
that heavy lifting for him.
He's an impressive man who can do impressive things in the ring, but as a sort of character, I don't feel anything towards Brian Cage. Anything at all.
Impact tried to find something when they made him the machine, Brian Cage. He's like a Terminator-esque get-up.
Mm.
But yeah, whilst there is all these elements there, there's nothing that you massively latch onto.
No.
The thing with Big Bill gives me some hope that maybe you just have like this bully beef tag.
He's a very charismatic man as well as Big Bill. But as I say, Brian Cage has got everything in the ring. He's very impressive in what he does. But in terms of the stuff that makes you want to hate the guy and the stuff that makes you care, I don't think he's got anything. Which is harsh to say, but you know, we're paid for our opinions, aren't we, Tom?
We are indeed.
I'm going. I don't know about you. I'll put it here and see how you feel.
I was going to suggest the bin, but is he better or worse than Jack?
At the moment, no.
No.
Right. This is a weird one to put in the tier list, but me and Tom looked at the House of Black's recent opponents, and every single opponent they've had recently has been a babyface, which means they've got to be a heel, even though they are cheered. I like the House of Black, which probably means they're bad heels, but what they do on the show is they've stolen Andrade's mask most recently. That's a crime, and crime doesn't pay.
they're a cult.
Yeah.
They're a heel cult who poison people. So they are heels, but therefore, the fact that they are so beloved... Are they bad heels?
They're bad heels because
they're
so cool. Their entrance is amazing. Obviously, the big heavy riffs and whatnot and the rock music and all that sort of stuff. It just makes you like them. I love the vibe they bring because obviously in professional wrestling history, we know that sometimes the spooky gimmicks are forced on people who can't convey them. Whereas this spooky-ish gimmick, who isn't quite overtly spooky, but you know what I'm trying to say, it just suits them all down to the ground, I think.
Yeah.
Should we go to the bin as a heel?
So they're as heels. They've got to go in the bin.
I love the House of Black. Brody King's one of my favourite wrestlers of the year so far.
This list is really pickling my brain.
I know, yeah.
Because I'm looking at, like, I don't like Jack Perry, but then I love House of Black, but they're in the same category.
Yeah, but
is up is down. This is a mess. But it has to be it this way, because this is like an M.C. Escher painting. I can't make top nor bottom of where we are and who we are, but I understand where people are going.
Yeah. And by the way, Malakai Black, without the beard, I know I said this to you on the news yesterday, didn't I?
Yes.
It's a massive upgrade from the beard. He's one of those lads who can buck the trend in the world, looking better without
he's
a beard.
He's gone all shaven, and it's a strong look.
Ooh, Satnam Singh.
He's the best around, and nothing's going to ever bring him down.
Because he's tall.
Because he's tall. He just sort of stands next to Jeff Jarrett and goes, ooh, like if Jeff wasn't there.
It's a case of the Brian Cages for me.
I've got a terrible case of the Brian Cages.
Apart from when he's throwing men around. There's been a couple of, I think, a Darby Allin where he sort of caught him out of mid-air and just went, hey, see you later. That's fantastic stuff. But then again, it makes me want to like Satnam Singh, so maybe it's not a good thing for
him. I feel like setting up for a moment where Jeff Jarrett slaps him and Satnam Singh just hoys Jeff Jarrett across the ring to a huge ovation.
Maybe that's how Jeff Jarrett leaves AEW.
He just gets thrown out.
Just flies across, right back to Nashville, Tennessee. But yeah, I think Satnam belongs in the bin as a heel because he doesn't really do anything, does he?
No, not yet.
Just sort of stands there. Just
stands there with heels.
Harley Cameron.
Ah, Harley
QTV.
Cameron.
Very confusing. Well, not even confusing, just a rubbish storyline.
Who's that blonde lass with QTV?
Google, Google, Google. A bit of a rubbish storyline with Max Caster and Anthony Bones of the Acclaim, where she was. It had, I guess, little shoots of hope for a storyline, because she obviously does one brand of music. They do another brand of music that we're going to have a music off, but she fancied Anthony Bones. Got a wonderful moment where it was like, he's gay!
Yeah.
Shut up, you silly woman.
I know you want me. And like, ah, you don't know. Oh, that was cracking, that was. I mean, I don't like her.
Mm.
There's a Gillian Hall energy to her.
There is a Gillian Hall energy to her.
And I didn't like Gillian Hall, as I was supposed to. I actually think lovely, lovely, lovely.
We'll go lovely, lovely, lovely.
There is. It's a very early days with Harley Cameron, yeah. But I think she's somebody that you could attach to a tag team. Maybe Big Bill and Brian.
Oh, yeah. She's a lot better than those QTV segments where she's just like, ha, 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 inside reference to the business.
Yeah. Another one that's anchored by QT Marshall.
Oh, everybody is, aren't they? So from Harley Cameron, we go to Brian Danielson. As a heel, he is a prime dick.
He truly is the prime beef of dickheadery. I love Brian as a babyface, but you know what? He is absolutely in his element as a baddie.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where he's one of them where he's not a cowardly baddie. He's very much just like, I'm the best in the world. Deal with it. Obviously, that's CM Punk, but you know what I mean? And he backs it up, and I think like he's great. I'm trying to decide the other day whether I prefer this heel, Brian Danielson, which is very like simple in its offering, which
an
is
an assassin.
Or do I prefer sort of earth loving Brian Daniel Bryan with like the hemp title belt standing on burgers?
Yeah.
And in a sports entertainment sense, I loved that Daniel Bryan. I like this Brian Danielson, and I think this Brian Danielson likes it as well.
Yeah, they're both top tier gimmicks for me, but how much stock do we put in the fact that he doesn't get overtly, he doesn't get like QT Marshall booze?
No.
Don Callis booze. How much do we put into that in the terms of this tier list?
I think he does get booze, but they're certainly not as loud. So I think, you know, maybe you put him in the top of lovely, lovely, lovely.
I think we go lovely. I don't think he's within the best of the heels. What he does is fantastic. Mm. And then the crowd reaction, just because he is Brian Danielson, I don't think it matches up. But I think that's just because of who he is rather than what he's doing.
Yeah, you'll always be competing with that. People love Brian Danielson.
Damn him for being beloved for his professional wrestling skill. Shame on you for being so good, Brian Danielson.
How dare you.
Next up, we've got John Moxley, who is pretty much...
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A similar type of heel, but with more blood.
I think John Moxley is very much a heel. Inwardly and outwardly. Makes you sound like he's an horrible person. I think his whole character and persona leans into heelness. And people still love him, but, you know, there's a lot of energy for him. But the way that he acts and conducts himself is a very heelish tendency. And I buy him as a heel.
Yeah.
I genuinely think, like, he's an angry man.
He is an angry man.
You know, and he is. So I would say, certainly higher than Brian. How do you think in terms of the cheers and stuff?
I think it's much in the same tier. Depends how high we go in terms of him being a heel. But I think it's just the fact that not everybody is giving him the Don Callis reaction that keeps him out the best tier, which again is a weird thing to say. But such as the game is this heel tier list.
I think in general, and we've got two more members of the Blackpool Combat Club to look into, but the general thing with them was they were a babyface faction that sort of became a heel faction de facto. And people still really like them.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It is, but they are definitely heels. There's no getting around that. No. Don't you go down the comments and say they're baby faces. They're horrible, evil men. We'll go to Claudio Castagnoli now.
A swaggering arrogance of a heel.
Yeah. His new theme's fantastic. It's his gimmick even more than just the general, I forget what, the little, when he came in. They've changed it now to something more like pompous and regal.
Yeah, and I think that works for him better. You know what? In terms of a heel, I find it easier to hate Claudio than I do Brian Danielson and John Moxley.
Yeah.
Like in terms of, like, if we're going by this of them being a heel, like, I think Claudio has got that sort of swaggering arrogance that a good heel needs.
It's like a case of the Ronan Keatons, hasn't he?
Well, you say it best when you say nothing at all.
Exactly.
Nice.
Because Brian Danielson and Moxley are giving it all the promos, whereas Claudio gives it some of the promos, but not as much of the promos.
No, he, you know, he does his work in the ring.
Yeah.
Where do you think? Do you think? Are we going to put all the BCC in?
Should we put them all? Because I think there's obviously a case to be made of like people caring less about Claudio and Wheeler, the Great Uta, just in terms of John Moxley and Brian Danielson. But I think as a foursome, I don't think any of them, in terms of a heel, really stand out from the other. If that makes any sense. There's no one who's like the most evil, and you work your way down the tiers. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, all in lovely. Because they still do get cheers because they're cool. They're badass. All that sort of vernacular.
But they're certainly great in their role as heels. They make it very clear that they're heels.
Yes, they do that. This is a very confusing tier list, isn't it? Mm. Anyway, Athena, who is a sassy lady.
Would we not class Athena as Ring of Honor?
Well, yeah, but then she was on Dynamite fleetingly, I think, last week in a little promo backstage with Willow. So I guess that counts. We'll put her in the tier, why not?
I think she's great as a heel. Yeah. I didn't think I'd buy Athena as a heel as much as I have done, but, you know, especially after watching Death Before Dishonor, where it was, you know, there was the respect bit at the end of the match, and there was a lot of love there. But certainly, like, there's a bad guy energy that I can very much support.
Seems more at home being the heel than the babyface. Because we saw the Ember Moon years, didn't we? Her being a babyface by and large from start to finish in WWE. While it was good with the entrance and the contact lenses and obviously the fantastic wrestling and whatnot, as a character, she seems more at home as a heel.
Yeah. So
how high do you want to go, Tom? How high? Because she does get a fairly good heel reaction as well whenever she does appear.
Yeah, so therefore, I think we should be putting her in top of Lovely, Lovely, Lovely.
We'll go in there somewhere.
Just certainly higher than the BCC.
We'll drop her in there.
There you go.
It's in no particular order. Anyway, Jay Lethal, whose role in AEW as the months and weeks and years have gone on, has just been reduced to sort of glorified jobber. Is that fair? He's the guy, obviously a very good professional wrestler just in terms of what he does in the ring, just made to... Oh, sorry, booked to make other people look very good in defeat.
I think that was a role that he does magnificently. Yeah. I think a lot of people thought he'd come in and just take a bunch of titles and make a big deal, but then I think this role actually really works for him. Mm. And I think he's a very good bad guy.
As a heel as well, he was obviously part of the tag team with Jeff Jarrett, who had that feeling that nobody else in AEW could conjure up, is the fact that the sheer dread where it looked like Jeff Jarrett, of all people, could be a champion in the revolution that was supposed to be AEW, was a fantastic thing that I took a few weeks to get on board before. Once you realise that Jeff Jarrett brings that dread that nobody else can, it's just a character that works, and Jay Lethal was attached to that as well.
So by association, Jay Lethal should be in Lovely, Lovely, Lovely.
I think he's a tier or two below Double J.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
So maybe top of all right or middle of all right?
We'll go middle of all right, so above Anna JS. But we might as well do Jarrett now. He's on here somewhere. Jarrett has got to be.
Straight in the best.
Yeah.
And because this is the fundamental thing of a heel, like just nothing but hatred for him as a performer.
It started off with the wrong reasons, I would say, just the fact that he is Jeff Jarrett in the revolution that is AEW. But his character work on screen and playing up to that. And like there was that tag team match where the Nelly won the tag team titles where he hit the stroke, I think, in a guitar shot, and he was celebrating like he'd already run the match. But that obviously cost him. Just little things like that as well. He knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
The greatest thing Jeff Jarrett ever did was become self-aware. there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we, you know, through the days of 2000-2001 WCW, where he was pushed as the world champion, he didn't have that self-awareness. And people hated the fact that he was getting this massive push. Whereas here, he knows his role, to quote Dwayne Johnson. He knows his role and he plays it magnificently.
He's really good.
Easily one of the best heels in the company.
He's gone missing over the last little while, so hopefully they'll get him back in the tag team.
I love the thought of Jeff Jarrett at Wembley Stadium.
Live concert. Oh, him and Elton John duet. There's lingering hopes there, just because obviously Collision's theme is, you know, Saturday Night Away from Fighting. Imagine if Elton John's there tickling the ivory. I know he played his last ever UK gig at Glastonbury, but forget about that.
Yeah, come and do that and then get interrupted by QT Marshall.
Then Elton.
It writes itself!
Elton shoots suplexes QT through the piano. Penelope is next up on the tier list, who I don't even know anymore, Tom. She dresses in a different way now. She was aligned with the bunny for a long time. I don't know if she still is aligned with the bunny. She's still definitely a heel when we see her.
I am painfully indifferent to Penelope.
A case of the Brian Cages.
A real case of the Brian Cages. and Kip Sabian, unfortunately. And apologies to Kip, who I know grafts and try and just spent all this time creating a character where his head is a cardboard box. And
but why is he a whimsical sort of Victorian era like circus guy? Whoa, I'm here.
I think he's just trying stuff, isn't he?
I was saying, like, this new gimmick of Kip's, just, well, I might as well speak about Kip, I want to speak about Penelope as well, is the sort of gimmick that the super bad Kip would bully on screen.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's changed it, because the super bad was just very simple. It was just, you know, very Shawn Michaels.
I think he's just trying to stand out in a very busy deck of cards. And I feel sad because I want Kip and Penelope to do well, but nothing they've really done has really scanned for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to boo them, nor do I want to cheer them. I'm just like, it's Kip Sabian.
Dressed like
he's in the Black Parade.
Are they bin, but in a different sort of way?
It's
a weird bin, but I think we're justified in our different shades of bin.
Yeah. the bin is, do you want to boo them?
Yeah. No. Do you feel anything? No.
Yeah, and it's either I don't want to boo them because I love them too much, or I don't want to boo them because I'm not bothered.
Exactly.
So that's the bin there. Bin is strange company.
It is strange company. But I guess we're going from the bin towards the top, if the internet is to be believed, because Jay White is rumoured to be one of the best heels in the world ever, according to Richard Tubman of Cultaholic Wrestling.
Rumoured to be.
I've put him next to Juice Robinson. If there's one pick I want to do in this tier list, Juice goes straight at the top. His little things as a heel, since the birth of Collision, he has been Mr. Collision for me, because he's been absolutely fantastic.
And he's really good at taking those little things.
Yeah.
And blowing him up.
He's straight out of the 80s is what he is.
Yeah.
You can see him in the WWF in 98.
Do you know what? There's a pattern forming here, isn't there? It's the old school kind of heels. It's the mouthpiece like a Don Callis. It's the legend of a Chris Jericho. It's the legend of a Jeff Jarrett.
Mm.
You know, it's the 80s vibe of a QT Marshall or a Juice Robinson. That's where the true secret sauce lies in heels.
Yeah. Because he does get laughs as Juice Robinson, but he's not getting cheers at the moment, where I think I'm justified in putting him in the top, because there's a difference between a laugh and a cheer. We all nervously laugh at the bully, don't we?
Yeah.
You're great.
You're great.
Are you saying I'm the bully?
Oh. No, of course not. The question is, though, Jay White.
Yeah, personally, he's getting better. Obviously, the Bam Bam Gang and Collision are getting more TV time to be featured. They are getting better and better as the weeks go on. But I don't think he's a top-tier heel at the moment.
No, I don't either. I think maybe you're right.
All right. Oh, because he does get a lot of cheers, doesn't he?
Oh, maybe bearable then.
Maybe bearable? We'll go top of bearable.
Top of bearable.
He's too bloody suave, isn't he, Jay White? We need to be. I know, like, obviously, New Japan fans, I guess you're not as much as I am.
You're a massive New Japan fan.
I never did. Never gave it the time of day. I watched Wrestle Kingdom, but that was about it. Obviously, Jay White was obviously in big featured matches on a few of the Wrestle Kingdoms. And he was good there, but I'm still not seeing it, whatever it is. You know, the thing that made everyone go, ooh.
I think it's just because there's so much talent in that roster that you've got to, if you're coming into it, you've got to really have something special.
Yeah.
And I think Jay White's probably clicked it yet.
He's obviously a fantastic wrestler, but there's a character just to hate. I'm not quite seeing it yet. We'll go at this end of the tier, Tom, because I've got a few juicier ones at this end.
That sounds like a fan.
Swerve Strickland is the complete package, the total package, I like to say. He's got the look, he's got the promos, he's got the wrestling, he's got everything. But he's also very cool. I like Swerve. I don't hate Swerve like I should do.
But
as
he gets booed.
Especially against Keith.
Yeah, he gets booed. So I guess like he's all those things and he's unlikable.
Mm. And how high do you want to go?
I think we may put him top of lovely, lovely, lovely.
Top of lovely. I think that's
similar thing with Daniel Garcia. Great sports entertainer, great performer, but you know, very easy to hate, in my opinion. I like him as a heel.
Yeah. A recent heel turn as well happened on last week's Collision was Taya Valkyrie. I guess it was building up to last week's Collision, but this was like the first time we saw her rubber stamped as a heel. She's sort of like, she's got the sort of like showgirl, like, typography on a Tron and whatnot. So I guess we're going to play up to that sort of stuff. She's been a very much a case of the Brian Cages so far in AEW, and the fact that we haven't really felt anything because she got the big debut in the big sort of first storyline against Jade Cargill for the title, but then she lost, then she got another title shot, and then she lost, and then she got a shot at the AEW Women's Championship, and then she lost, and now she's turned heel.
She has far more to offer as a heel, does Taya Valkyrie. I'm surprised they tried to even... And they even attempted to bring her in as a babyface because I think she's far better as a heel. So even in Impact, when she was a heel in Impact, she was great. And when they turned a babyface in Impact, I just don't buy her. She's not likable enough to me to be a face. Mm. So lean in and be a heel.
Yeah.
And it's early days yet with the heel turn for AEW, but if it goes the way of others, then I think it's going to be at least lovely, lovely, lovely.
But if we're basing it on now...
I'm going to be the better obscure company and say, all right.
Yeah, we'll go towards the top of all that. We'll go under Matt Menard. Why the hell not? Next up, we have Sanjay Dutt. And I said Satnam Singh there. Sanjay Dutt, his little friend, who is he's despicable. He screams down the camera. His little pencil annoys the tits off me. Yeah. There's nothing likable about Sanjay Dutt.
Sanjay has had a fantastic renaissance.
Whee!
And here you go, young man. Like, he's gone through a bunch of different gimmicks and personas, but this one is especially annoying and nothing redeemable about him. All we want to do is see Satnam Singh throw him across the ring.
Oh, how far could he throw him? How far?
I'm up for the challenge. Well done, Sanjay. You are incredibly hateable.
He is. Well done. Roosh has just signed a new deal with AEW to make him like full-time AEW, I guess. We haven't really seen too much of what he can bring to the table in AEW so far. There's been obviously the contractual storyline with trying to recruit people, with Jose the assistant getting involved, and Andrade as well. It's very much a case of what could come rather than what has been with Roosh in AEW. So where do you want to go? Obviously, he's coming in with a big reputation. I haven't seen too much of him, to be honest with you, just the stuff he's been doing in AEW largely. So where do you want to go?
See, again, I'm basing this on AEW as opposed to like other stuff, but I think maybe better obscure company again. We stick him in all right.
Stick him in all right. See what's happening. It's a hard one to judge so far.
It's a really weird one.
Like, you can see he's a dick, though.
Yes, he has got dick potential. And now he's re-signed. So I guess one would hope that we'll now see that dick potential.
That dick potential. That deeper T.
Deeper T.
And we go to his stablemate, I guess, in some form or fashion, El Perro Peligroso. Big old, I've forgotten it. I keep calling him Harry Kane in my head. Now he looks like he's like if Chris Masters and Harry Kane had a baby. Preston Vance, of course.
He's got a great look as Preston Vance. And I've enjoyed his post-Dark Order stuff. Like, there was everything about that heel turn out of the Dark Order, I thought, was played magnificently. It was taken off the mask and it was, you know, berating Negative One. Like, everything you should do as a heel to start you off, to launch you. Absolutely. I think he's a really good baddie. I think he's doing far more stuff now than he did as part of the Dark Order. So I would wager he goes into lovely, lovely, lovely.
I'll put him at the bottom. He's not getting utilised too much at the moment. But when you do see him, there's nothing likeable about him whatsoever, which is what we're here to talk about today, isn't it?
Exactly.
In this tier list about the heels. War Geordie Pack.
Now
if he was based on like Newcastle upon Tyne, he would be in the bin because we all love him, obviously, because he's from here. But in terms of his reactions on Dynamite, he's only come back, obviously, in Blood and Guts and whatnot, so I haven't really seen too much of him recently. But before that as well, he doesn't really get too many cheers, does he, by the American audiences?
And he headlined Death Before Dishonor. Oh, he was in a match against Death Before Dishonor against another heel?
Yeah.
But was sort of the de facto babyface?
Was he, actually?
Kind of.
He did cut a babyface promo before the show, though.
Yeah, like, he went, oh, Blackpool's rubbish.
Blackpool's a poo hole, like, you know.
Sure, we got Whitley Bay, which is far better.
Better beach, isn't it?
All of Blackpool. Bet they've still got donkeys on the beach.
Why do you want to go for Pat?
Oh, see, I don't think.
As a heel.
I
remember the days of, like, him calling, I'm the honey badger, and I'm going to bite your bastard nose off. That was good stuff.
I mean, his name is The Bastard. He should be near the top.
We'll go near the top. We'll go lovely, at least. We'll just stick him in there. I don't think he's in the best, because obviously he's that impressive. I do think there's little, like, you know, when he gets wrestling. But he is despicable, isn't he?
Mm.
Horrible little head.
and we've done well there to be very unbiased about that, because obviously he's from this neck of the woods, so...
We've got to think about the translation over to American, like, how will the crowds react to him over there on us just having a permanent hard-on from...
And we do have a permanent hard-on.
But I think lovely's fine. Yeah. We'll go on to Mark Sterling now. Smart Mark Sterling, the attorney for many professional wrestlers in AEW.
Very much like in the ilk of a Sanjay Dutt, nothing at all likeable about him. But if someone said, like, you can either see Sanjay Dutt get his comeuppance... Or Mark Sterling get his comeuppance.
Sanjay all day.
Sanjay, and that is another issue within this list is ambivalence. is a heel, he's fine, but there are so many other mouthpieces in AEW that are far better.
I'll tell you where I'm feeling. I'll see what you think about it. Somewhere in here, somewhere in all right. I think he's just.
I wouldn't put him a bit back, maybe a bit further back.
Back.
A bit there.
Oh, there.
I'll take that.
Because what he does, it's obviously nothing likeable about that. Who likes lawyers and stuff like that? It's all very sort of like, I don't want to call it Butlins, his role, but you know what I'm trying to say? It's all just very easy written stuff, which is sometimes the best stuff, isn't
business,
it?
Businessman.
Yeah.
I'm doing business and I'm a bad guy. It's a very basic role plays fine.
Yeah.
Just fine. Sorry, he's Mark. Right. He's fine.
He's all right. Never gets cheered. Lance Archer, the Murder Hawk monster. He was a babyface for a little bit because he was just smashing fools, but by and large, and very recently as well, since he's made his comeback to the company, has been presented as a bad man.
I think that when they really go in on Lance Archer, I think he's a brilliant baddie. Mm. I think he's genuinely terrifying.
Yeah.
But they've been so inconsistent over the years that you know, that star power, you know, that stardust sort of fades a little bit each time he does a comeback. I mean, I guess people boo him.
Yeah, I don't think he's near the top. I think he's maybe bottom of lovely is the highest we can go. But I think maybe all right as well, because... He is, when he starts whapping out those big moves off the top rope and, you know, trying to do moonsaults and stuff where he doesn't land on his own head, he's really impressive and gets good reactions, because what he does for his size, sticking people through a roof, remember back in lockdown times, it is really impressive to see. So where do you want to go?
I think probably he's got a bit more about him than Taya Valkyrie at this point.
In there?
Yeah.
Lovely. Well, all right, but I'm trying to say lovely there. Brandon Cutler, who hasn't been seen in a little while, but he is... fantastic in his role.
I mean, I despise, like he dresses like the cool kids. He is like the nerd that's trying to hang out with the cool lads. And there is a deep charm to that I really want to hate, and I do hate. When he had the spray and he had the mask and all that stuff, everything about him I had one pitch in a 9 pitches video, which was for an AEW pay-per-view, and it was just Penta pile-driving him off the top of the cage. That was my whole pitch, because I thought, I really like, he's such a dislikable man, I want to see bad things happen to him, and I'd like to see it on a weekly basis, so surely with that... He's got to be in one of the top two tiers.
I think he's definitely one of the top two tiers. But I think he's that likable in the role of a heel, if that makes any sense whatsoever. He can't be in the top, but he should be near the top of lovely.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. We'll go in there. Because it's a shame that the Young Bucks are being presented as a heel right now, and the Elite as a whole are being presented as babyfaces right now. Because when he was out there as their sort of lackey and manager and, you know, second at ringside, he was fantastic.
There's no place for him right now.
No, not as a babyface.
Not as a babyface.
Christian Cage.
Oh, Christian's been amazing.
It's straight to the top.
It's straight to the top for Christian.
The fact that the most recent stuff we've seen, he's taken the TNT title, which Luchasaurus won, and pretends he's the champion. Classic stuff. His promos against Jungle Boy, which has turned Jungle Boy evil in the long run. Fantastic stuff. Lol.
I think it's so funny to see like, obviously, you know, everybody will always put Christian and Edge together, and Edge is having this sort of one, what feels like the sunset of his career. Like, I feel like we're sunsetting on Edge in WWE, whereas Christian, I could see there for ages.
Especially since he doesn't wrestle all too often. Prolong that career.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But he is fantastic. He just says things that maybe anyone else apart from MJF, when he's a proper heel, wouldn't say. The turtleneck as well, I think we've got to shout that out. He's on Twitter last week, wasn't he, saying, I only wear this turtleneck because I put half the roster, half my age, to shame.
Yeah,
just the fact he's got a six pack underneath his turtleneck.
Just little lines like that just really bring it to life. It's been a good month for the Brood.
It has, yes.
A good month for the Brood. Edge at a banger at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Christian in AEW.
Yeah.
Gangrel in Newcastle. It's been a great month for the Brood.
Did Gangrel win his match? Of course he did.
Of course he did. They saved Benji from the Landed Gentry. Him and Rory Coyle. It's on Fight on Saturday.
Ooh.
North Wrestling Thunderstruck with commentary by Tom Campbell and Vader Scott.
That might have been last night when this goes live. I don't know when this is going live.
You can watch it on Fight now.
Put a date on it, yeah.
It's on. You can watch it anytime. Me and Vader Scott do lovely comms. Gangrel's in it. Scotty Too Hotty's in it. Mercedes Martinez is in it. Liam Slater and Leon Slater are in the main event, and they're brilliant.
Fiverr after the podcast.
Thank you very much. Shreddy's a good heel. Brings us back.
Ah, yes. And speaking of more good, well, I don't know if they are good heels. The old Saraya and Ruby and Tony. Why have I forgotten their stable name? God, I'm having a mare here today. The social butterflies. What are they called?
Social outcasts.
The social outcasts. What are they called? The Outcasts, that's all they're called, isn't it?
Social Outcasts was the team of, like,
Adam Rose,
Bo Dallas,
Curtis Axel. The Outcasts.
The Outcasts.
They do largely the same thing every single time they're on TV, which means I've become a little bit numb to everything they do. It's always just like spray paint, distraction, roll up.
Why are they Outcast?
Because they are the WWE. This is the Monday NWO, Tom.
Right.
They've come from the other company to poison the AEW roster.
I see.
Because Tony loved her time in WWE, famously.
Yeah. All three had great runs in WWE where they were superstars and not treated weirdly. Mm. I like them. I think they're a strong addition to the women's division, and I don't hear many people cheering them.
No, I guess that is a good thing.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
That and the okie dokie. Surely... And by that respect, they should be...
How high do you want to go?
Behind pack.
In there. It's just a shame they do the same thing every time, but I guess the fact that that's annoying me is working.
Well, there you go. That's it. Maybe they go higher than pack there if they're annoying you.
Oh, we'll go. Yeah, we'll put them there.
There you go.
Next up, we have Powerhouse Hobbs, who could be on the brink of the biggest babyface turn of the year so far, once he spats in the face of QT Marshall. But for the time being, he's still loosely aligned with QTV. I think he's going to try and break the shackles. Because as we're sat here, he's challenged QT to find the biggest and the baddest guy for QT to wrestle, which makes me think he could find Powerhouse Hobbs and Powerhouse Hobbs could wrestle him. And that'll be the sort of end of Powerhouse and QTV.
I hope so.
I hope that's the way it goes. I don't make myself look stupid now, because I think it's going to happen on Friday or Saturday. So,
Hobbs,
as a heel.
This is it. Hobbs has been like prime dominant babyface material for so long.
Yeah.
But they've kept him as a heel. Mm. So, therefore, he needs to go in the bin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I little people love him.
He is. Yeah, he's just... People are willing, I don't know if it's just us in a sort of cultaholic vacuum, just willing them to get out of QTV because he doesn't need them. He's better than them. Is that him being a bad heel?
I think it's, yeah, he's got a, there's a baby face running there that I am ready to see.
I just want to see him snap some necks. Oh. And we end things, I've left this one for last on purpose. It's MJF, because obviously we're sat here just after him and Adam Cole have won that Blind Eliminator Tournament. They're going to challenge FTR for the tag belts this weekend, I think it is, or is next weekend. Whenever, it's coming up very soon. So MJF currently is as big as babyface as you can be. But there's that undercurrent of a heel turn because we saw, well, I guess a heel continuation. Because Adam Cole picked up the world title and MJF saw him pick up the world title, even though they're tag team partners. But Cole didn't see that MJF saw Adam Cole pick up the world title, which makes me feel that MJF could spaff on his face very soon.
The greatest trick the devil ever told was that he didn't exist.
Yes.
I think he's the best heel in the company. Like, I know. On the optics, yeah, he's being cheered now. But it's like when MJF, and he will, batters Adam Cole. Whoa! Of course he was always going to do it. Yeah. Of course he was. But the fact that he's, the fact that he has played this, the entire crowd like a fiddle, and got, and it's sort of distraction tactics, right? Yeah. We're not thinking about, oh, when's MJF going to turn on Adam Cole? All tournament they're going, when are they going to hit that double clothesline?
Yeah.
Distraction tactics. It's fantastic. He's the best. He works so much magic and plays everybody. He plays off screen and on. Like, I think he was calling into Adam Cole's Twitch show the other day, and he's just like, "Hey friend, what are you doing?" Like, he knows how to work the system in every sense.
Yeah.
When that happens, it's going to be magnificent. He is the ultimate bad guy. I will boo him forever, and I love him for that.
Do you think there's a chance they keep them together for a prolonged period after you've just seen the reaction to them?
No, I think as soon as they lose the titles, MJF's just going to batter him. Might not be that night. They'll do something, maybe the following week, that will distract you from thinking it's going to happen, and then he'll do it.
You think they're going to take the titles of FDR?
No. I think they're losing to FDR.
Oh, yes.
I think they're losing to FDR, and then I think maybe the next week they'll say, "Hey, don't worry, friend, we'll pick up and go again." They'll start some mini one-day feud with, I don't know, the Guns or something, and then MJF will go, "Oh, it was a wind-up all along!"
Yeah.
And it'll be great.
Yeah, either way, it's going to be very good for us, our show over here at Wembley, because it's either going to be Adam Cole versus MJF for the world title, or it's going to be Adam Cole and MJF taking on some sort of tag team in some sort of showcase thing.
Got to be Adam Cole versus MJF. Like, the twist is coming. I'm ready for it, and it's just going to make MJF like the most detested man in the world.
Yeah.
I am ready for it.
Even more so than he already, well, not currently, but has been in the very recent past. So there we go. I don't think there's a need to rejig the top line there, because MJF, I agree with everything Tom said there, is the best heel in AEW. I just want to put QT Marshall a bit further down, just to, for my own sanity. And then maybe move Double J up there.
Yeah,
a little bit of Christian action up there. Yeah. And that'll do. There's the top three heels in the company. MJF, Jeff Jarrett, Christian Cage. Let us know how wrong we are down below. Let us know where myself and Tom would be in this tier list of heels, because we've said some rubbish here on the YouTubes today. Any closing remarks before we go away?
Heels is back on Stars in the TV show.
It is.
I'm not working for them. I just really like the show. It's back on Stars now. It's the drama about wrestling.
That's a fiver, Stephen Amell. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephen.
I've been Gary, joined by Gary, and we'll see you in a little, Gary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.